come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Well, there's certain people that you meet along the way that are just always a blessing. And I appreciate Brother Hess. He's served faithfully, he and his wife Dawn, and their children in the Ukraine. And it is an honor to have him tonight. Come back here for the first time in 12 years. And here, for some of you, you prayed for him. This is put the name with the face. And we do try to make that as available as we possibly can. But we're so delighted to have him here tonight. He's going to come. And the best part, he's from West Virginia. Florida, God, we finally get some people that's got some class around here. Amen. All right, brother. Yes, come on up here. God bless you. Thank God for you being here. They pick on me all the time. So
they
I
do?
To, yeah, all the time because I'm from West Virginia.
I can't believe that. I cannot either.
Me either.
Здравствуйте, здравствуйте. Я очень рад видеть каждый из вас сегодня вечером. Кто из нас знает русский? Поднимите руки, пожалуйста. Hey now, listen, Sarah. Sarah, I remember your name. She's very friendly. It's dangerous to raise your hand if you don't know why you raised your hand, all right? I ask you all, how many of you know Russian? Now, I know we're this close to Sacramento, and there is a large population of Russians in this neck of the woods. A classic West Virginia phrase. Amen. I'm going to pull out a lot of them tonight because I'm among kinfolk. Yeah. Kinfolk. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, it's good to be here. You know, you guys got a special church. You guys helped me to feel right at home. Amen. I mean, people reached out their hands and said, Brother Tony, good to see you. How you doing? I mean, like, they saw me last week. And it's been 12 years. You guys, this is a special church to us. And we're grateful to be back. I'm with all my heart, I'm telling you this. Prayer cards. We got fresh ones, okay? The old ones, I don't know what I think the old ones are a flag or something, maybe. Y'all probably still have some of those. Maybe I sent some in the last few years. But, you know, there's the old. I'll probably look better on the old ones, okay? Because as you get older, your hair either turns gray or turns loose. And I've been having a little bit of both. So, you know, what can you do? But anyway, here we are. And it's got all the kids on here. And Mamochka, that's the affectionate terminology for mother, if you want to make something kind of cutesy and sweetsy, you put the ch-k ending in Russian. Those of you who work with Russian people, all right, remember that. If they call you ch-k on the end, they really like you. Anyway, Mamachka's here, Dawn and the two little ones, which don't look so little here. Let me introduce these kids because you may not recognize them. I think somebody thought this was me right here. Anyway, Mark Anthony, as some of you know, is our recent high school graduate. And he's looking for a Bible college. And we came out here, out on the west side of the country, to survey a couple good colleges. And be in prayer for Marcus about that. He's 18. And then next to him is my twin 27 years later, Joshua Christian. Now, they say they all look like me, but these two, I guess, favor me the most. And then next we have one here is Caleb and then little Anna Banana. And they're always competing for who's taller. Anna's actually 16 months younger than Caleb. And for as a little man, he's little, but he's like, there's a full man in there. He's like a little man. And he, for him, it's very important in life to be taller than his sister. But his build is totally different. I mean, he's like stocky, you know, like this. And anyway, but she has really sprouted up there, and she's tall. This picture is a little bit deceptive. But anyway, this is the whole family. And then, of course, is my wife, the love of my life. And I wish she was able to be here. But as you probably can guess, plane tickets from North Carolina to California are not exactly cheap. So this is the best we could do. So anyway, next time we'll have to bring them. We'll have to try to bring the whole crew. We drove out here the first time. We drove from Kentucky. Our sending church is in Murray, Kentucky. You go to the end of the state and keep going, and that's where you find Murray, Kentucky. But we're in the western side, so it's closer. But let me tell you a little bit about, before we do the video, give you a little bit of rundown on what's been going on with us. We have been in this is one of our first churches, so after we left you all, we had about a year and a half at least of full-time deputation. And then in 2003, we got on the big plane and flew over Big Blue and landed in the Ukraine. And we went there and worked with another missionary, learning how to do church planting Russian style. And we worked with the Van Sants for some time. And we came back in the year 2010. And, I poured out my heart and soul and life with those people we worked with those first 7 years. It was the time we was learning the language, and, well, I'm still learning the language. But anyway, we are, still learning the language. Yeah, still learning. There's 122 ways to say go in Russian, okay? It is a complicated language, very complicated. But we came back in 2010, and the Lord gave me peace and said, it's time when we go back in the fall to launch out and start our new work. And so for 7 years, God was preparing us for these last 3.5 years. And it has been an exciting and challenging, I'll say this much, God has really stretched this old skinny missionary from West Virginia, which I'm not so skinny anymore, 165 pounds. Ever since I come back to the States, these mocha frappes are really piling up on me. I mean, you guys live in a blessed land. We don't have the mocha frappe in Ukraine. No way. So you're really blessed. You don't know. We do have McDonald's. That's the one fast food in our entire city, in our whole entire peninsula, matter of fact. And so we go there from time to time. And when we're here, I don't want to even see a McDonald's hamburger. But I do stop by McDonald's for the mocha frappe. So anyway, how did we get off subject? You all make me feel really at home, okay? So I'm just sharing everything with you, you know? We've got a lot of catching up to do in 12 years, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to preach in just a minute, okay? So anyway, before we get on the video, last 3 years is when we started the new church, Lifeway Baptist Church, and I think that'll pick us up. This will mostly focus on the last 3 years with Lifeway Baptist Church, our new church.
We are the Hesses, serving the Lord Jesus in Eastern Europe. We are sent out from Eastwood Baptist Church in Murray, Kentucky, and serving with Baptist International Missions Incorporated. Our city, Simferopol, in southern Ukraine, is home to some 400,000 people, all of which need to know Christ's love and forgiveness. We began working in Simferopol in May of 2003. We have worked in many facets of the ministry alongside other fellow missionaries for the first several years. During those years, we worked with the youth, directed the music ministries, organized and led the New Life class, as well as many conferences, camps, and retreats through which the Lord Jesus has broadened our sphere of ministry to involve people from all over the former Soviet Union. One of our great joys in the ministry has been starting a one-on-one discipleship training program for our church back in 2008 and 2009. One of the highlights every year in Ukraine is our annual National Youth Conference, bringing in teens from all over Ukraine. This is a time when we focus our young people's attention on a week of preaching, competition, singing, skits, and overall revival. It has proved a life-changing week for many each year. In the last 3 years, we started up the biggest undertaking of our lives. We launched out to plant a New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. We prayed about where to plant this new work of the Lord, and God directed us to the north side of the city, where there has been little to no gospel witness for Christ. Finding anyone willing to let us rent a space for the church was quite challenging for some time, but God is greater and has led us to just the right place. We started Lifeway Baptist Church as a Bible study and kicked it off with a family seminar for which we passed out thousands of invitations to all those in our area. The Bible study grew, and later we expanded our services to Wednesdays. In the spring of that year, God put on our hearts to reach out to a distant village with the gospel. We started a weekly backyard Bible club in the secluded village of Nindionovka. This ministry has changed many lives, including our own. We have been amazed to see God's hand at work in these young people. We are looking forward to seeing the missionaries and preachers that we are trusting God to bring out of this little-known place to change the world for Christ.
I have been privileged to start a ministry to the elderly in our local nursing home for the last several years. The Russian Orthodox influence has recently caused some opposition to our ministry in this home. We ask that you keep this ministry in your prayers, as we have not been able to minister there for the last few months. As you know, these people are on the edge of eternity and need to know our Savior. I have also been blessed to disciple several young ladies. I'm so excited to see these ladies now teaching and serving in the ministries of our church.
Glory to the Lord for providing the finances, the workers, a building, and most importantly, His strength, wisdom, and desire to begin this new church. Based on Christ's command and with His sure promises, we started this work, looking unto Jesus, and with His faithful hand guiding us, we have seen Him do what only He can do. Our church is small, but faithfully growing, with souls being saved and folks being added to the church. We praise the Lord for the fruit from the last 10 years of ministry, and now we see our fruit bearing more fruit, as Scripture admonishes in 2 Timothy 2:2. Praise be to the Lord for giving me a godly family with whom I can serve alongside in sharing the good news of Christ. We are grateful for each of you who have invested in the eternal destiny of these dear Russian souls and the establishment of our new church. We are so thankful for your prayers, support, and unending love given year after year for a people most of you have yet to meet. As we look to the future, we ask you to pray for men, that God will raise up preachers and missionaries, servant-hearted folks who will give of their time, talent, and treasure, reaching out to the lost and helping us further build the kingdom of Christ. The fields are white. The time is short. Please join us in making an eternal difference in the lives of these precious Russian people.
Well, how many of you all picked up a prayer card? These make excellent... Am I on? I'm on, aren't I? These make excellent bookmarks for your daily Bible reading. Okay? Right there. Read your Bible. Pray. Read your Bible. Pray. If you read your Bible and pray every day, you will what? Grow. Y'all been to Sunday school, haven't you? Amen. So, please pick one of these up and put this in a place that you'll remember it and see and pray for us often. I have a 3 prayer requests I want to offer. I'm going to ask you to pray about this evening. This afternoon, this evening, 5 o'clock, this evening. And that is, number one, pray for laborers. I'm really burdened for these villages. Nadyonovka is a village. I'm talking about not one single church of any kind at all for 30 minutes from this village. I mean, there's nothing but fields and a few houses, and this village is in the middle of nowhere. These kids knew nothing about Jesus or God when we went there. We went in and spent a year laying the foundation. I mean, Adam and Eve were just names that didn't really mean hardly anything to them. And Jesus, they didn't know, they didn't have a clue about Jesus. And so that's just how far out they were. And so we went and spent a year laying the foundation, and since then we've been able to lead about 20 of these, pretty much most of them are teenagers now, teenagers to Christ in the last couple years. And so praise the Lord for fruit in the village. I'm excited about what God's going to do in that village. There's a big difference between ministering in the village and ministering in the city. I didn't understand before why missionaries went out to the village, but after having a village ministry, I understand perfectly clear. Because people in the village are so much more open than people in the city. Most people in the city are like, that's it, just hard as a rock, that's it. And they because of the Orthodox and the cults and everything else, their influence, people look on in the city, they look on Baptist as some kind of cult. I mean, they say Baptist kill babies and drink their blood. I mean, just crazy stuff. And it's unbelievable. So the work is so much more challenging in the city. It's necessary. It's vital. We have to just outlive the lies. People have to come to get to know us to see that what everybody else said was just insane, just wasn't right. It was a lie. But that takes time. And even after people know who we are, they're still afraid to come and visit our church. Because if their family and friends hear about that they went to a Baptist church, then there's going to be extreme persecution for them. You just can't imagine. So we have about 20% of our population is Muslim, and they're there as well. Very challenging to reach Muslim people. So we figured it out. Per tracks, per just people off the street, cold turkey visitors, a non-acquaintance. That means that's not a family member, not a neighbor, not somebody we work with, just someone out of the blue off the street. How many tracks you think you give out in order to have one visitor off the street, cold turkey? How many you think? 500? It averages out at 10,000 tracks for one visitor. So can you see why out in the village it's so much easier? But the people, the masses, are in the city. And so that's where our church is. Our church is right in the middle of the city. So I'm burdened for these villages, but we need to establish our church right in the city. So please be in prayer about that. In order for us to start new churches, and especially in Nadyonovka and these other villages, we need workers. So pray number one for laborers. Number two, pray for a language grace. You see, my brain, I'm over 40 now, and so my brain thinks that I already know all the words I'm supposed to know for life, you know? And so when I put a new one in, old information pops out the other side. You know, sometimes it's vital information like, you know, anniversary date, children's names, stuff I need to know. But I lose it. So more Russian comes in, more English goes out. We come home, we come back to America, and you say, yeah, what do you call that thing? And I'm serious. You'd think you never would forget, but you do, because we live in a Russian world. Almost all my friends and fellowship, they're all Russian people. So we used to have more Americans, but this spring I've taken three full-time missionaries in our area. We used to have quite a few missionaries in Crimea, but I've taken three of them to the airport, leaving. And now there's different reasons for that. Laws have passed. It's tougher to live there. We're really there just by God's grace. We were there right in between the old law and the new law. And so I got my letter of invitation under the old law. And because I had a letter of invitation, they had no reason to really reject me under the new law. I know other missionaries come right behind me and said they will not grant us a letter of invitation. They will not let us get a visa here. Or they're making it very, very difficult. 90 days in the country, 90 days out, all that kind of stuff. Crazy. And so we're just there by God's grace. And so I'm just saying, pray for laborers, and then pray for language grace. Okay, please, I need that. Preaching in Russian is a real challenge for me. And then number three, and this is a big one. One of my goals when we come back is to raise some funds to buy some land. We need, like you all got the property over here for your parking lot. We need to have our own place. We meet in a storefront. And we filled up the first little storefront, and we've expanded, tore down the wall, and expanded into two rooms now. But all the same, we don't have a huge church, but we, on big Sundays, we'll have over 40. And we just need more space to expand for the future outreach and for the church to grow. And we want to have our own space. If the Renick shut down or... it's a long story. I could tell you lots of stories. I could spend all night telling you stuff, which is a possibility all the time. They don't meet the code and the laws. The fire company comes to and says, you don't have all half of the stuff you're supposed to have. We're closing down the Renick. And so then they go in all the windows and put close, 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 close. And you come up to church on Wednesday night, and there's a sign on your church window there that says, this space is available for rent. And, you know, then I go to the manager and say, what's going on with all these signs? And they say, no, it's just tear it down. It doesn't mean anything for now. And, you know, we weren't allowed to put up a real sign. So I print out these signs on really thick paper and paste them around the Renick on just places where a sign would go. And I can't tell you how many weeks we went through. We'd come to church, the sign was just ripped down, and I'd say, hey, that's okay. I'd go over, print more. After a while, I just got a stack of them. And then I just, you know, you come into church every day, put up a new church sign. That's what we face. That's what we're up against. I mean, they just come and tear down your sign. And so, that's reality, okay? Thank God you live in America, amen? I drive by North Carolina and see Baptist Church, Baptist Church, Baptist Church, and you see so many nice signs, so many nice things. I say, oh man, I'd love to do that in Ukraine. Even if I had the money to do it, it wouldn't last because people would tear it down, destroy it, or steal it. And that's reality. That's reality on the mission field. That's where we live. But, все равно, all the same, we love it there because people need us. We are helping so many people. The guy the guy that watches, he's called the Ochranik, he's a security guard. He watches the Renick. Renick is another Russian word. The market, basically, where we're at. And he walks around there and keeps guard of things. The last Sunday I was there, it was May the 5th, that was Easter for us. According to the Orthodox calendar, we do Easter when they do Easter. So anyway... I was about to pull out. It was my last Sunday there before furlough. And he leans up on my car window, and He's talking with me. This has been a long process, opening the door with this guy. And his name is Volodya. And, you know, he's going to receive persecution, and he does, if he visits our church. But he'll come in. He'll come into the church a little bit and sit in the back. And it took him a year before he ever sat down. Sometimes he was just so curious. He'd come in, open the door, and just listen a little bit. Then he'd go back out. He'd come back a little later, you know, and just we've been praying for him. And God's working on his heart. And now he'd come in and sit down for a little while. And so I've been able to share the gospel with him, share the gospel. We're just sowing seeds, you know. He's not ready yet, but he's getting there. And then before I left, he leaned on my window there and he said, he looked me straight in the eyes, he said, "You are coming back, aren't you?" He said, "You know, we're going to miss you around here. I can't describe to you how much that meant to me." That's, you know, in America, we express ourselves with each other so freely, and we pass out compliments very freely. You know, you can stand at the back of the church, and many people shake your hand. "Good message, brother, good message." Listen, if a Russian shakes your hand at the back of the church, or writes you a text, we call it SMS, and say, "That message was a blessing," that means it was a life-changing message. Unbelievable. They just don't pass out compliments. It's just not part of their culture. So for this man to come to me and tell me, Brother Tony, we're going to miss you, that means so much. It's hard for me to actually put it in words to you. But we're excited to be there. I'm excited to be here for a little time of R&R, refreshing, renewing, and re-ammoing. New word. Maybe it's an English, West Virginia word. But we need to re-ammo. Let's take our Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. And it's good to see some prayer partners. This is a church of several prayer partners. You guys get our prayer letter, and you pray for us on a weekly basis. And we pray for you all. We pray for you. And I wish I remembered every single person's name. And as I said, the more Russian I learn, the more I lose. But I'm trying. But we do pray for you guys. We pray for our pastors. Let's look at the text here, talking about prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Would you stand out of respect for God's word, please? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." You'll never rise higher in your spiritual life than your prayer life. You're only as close to God as your prayer life. Remember that. Here's the prayer. Here's what he's going to ask for. "That the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Let's go to the word and the word of prayer. Father, quiet our hearts now before this text. I pray you'll speak to us. We need a fresh challenge from heaven. Father, we need to be moved out of our comfort zones. And some folks here, Lord, probably need to be encouraged. Do all of these things this evening. We ask you to do it, Lord. I'm not worthy. And I pray you'll hide me behind the cross of Christ. Do what only you can do this evening, Father. We thank you, and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Be seated. I like this phrase, by the way. It says, what is the exceeding... No, it goes back a little further. In verse 18, the riches of his glory. I really feel impressed to mention that line right there. The riches of his glory. Listen, if we could get a vision of the glory of God, then it would change so much of the temptations we deal with every day in life. If you would remember that our Father in heaven is a way better daddy than the devil could ever be, then we will find ourselves victorious over so many temptations and struggles. God has the best for His children. God has the best for you. Teenagers, are you listening? God has the best for you. The riches of His glory. If we would just get a vision of the glory of God. The glory, His glory. The world has their glory, you know? And they're flashing it around everywhere. Across the internet, television, everywhere. You see that. We're familiar with that. What we're not familiar with is the glory of God. We need a vision. Here's his prayer, though. It's three prayer requests here, I see. The third has like a separate triplet that comes out of that one. I'm sorry, I've got a little bit of a cough. I've been to the doctor. They tell me stuff that I don't think is the real problem. It's a little funny, I know, but we've tried different things. I just get it, when I start speaking, I get a little tickle in my throat, and I don't know what it is, and I cough sometimes, so pardon that. I'm not sick. You won't get sick from me. You're okay. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out for free. But the first prayer request here is that this church at Ephesus would have the Spirit of Wisdom. The Spirit of Wisdom. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles back to great text in the Bible, into Psalm. Psalm chapter 90. Back to the Psalms. Psalm chapter 90, verse 9 through 12. The Bible says the days of our years are 70 years. What's that? Somebody know it? 70 years. Good. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, so that's 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Okay? For we know, who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. That is a fearful wrath. So, look at that next word there, verse 12. So, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Okay, did you see that? Wisdom. Here's the key phrase here. Paul is in the New Testament. He's praying. All Scripture is given by inspiration. It's profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be thoroughly furnished, right? Okay, so thoroughly inspired. So here's a prayer. This is a divinely inspired prayer. God is inspiring Paul what to pray, okay? God's telling Paul what to ask him. I found that kind of interesting. Anyway, so a divinely inspired prayer, and he says, ask for the Spirit of Wisdom. And Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, if we number our days, number one, it's a biblical thing. We should do it, and the purpose of doing that is that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, I did just that. I numbered my days once upon a time. Hence, Exhibit A, the ruler. Okay? It's also a good spanking for the kids. Okay? But not this one, because it's perforated. Anyway, good old Home Depot. You know how far I had to drive around to try to find a ruler? Anyway, there are not a lot of Walmarts in the area I was at. Do y'all know where? Are y'all familiar with Walmart? Y'all are familiar with Walmart, aren't you? Okay. Well, I couldn't find a Walmart, and so I couldn't. I had to go to Home Depot. So here we went, and I started looking at this text right. Thank you, brother. I started looking at this text here, 70 to 80 years, and I taught in school for several years, so God got my attention. This is about the time God showed me this. About the time I was surrendering to be a missionary. And I feel it's a suitable illustration tonight. So I saw a ruler over there on the wall, and I said 36 inches, if you put every inch to represent 2 years. Then it comes out to 72 years, you know, that's close in the middle there, okay? None of us are guaranteed 70 years, are we? Raise your hand if you're guaranteed 70 years. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're not guaranteed 70 years. right? But if God gives us mercifully 70 years, okay, then this ruler could be a representation of our life, all right? So, you know, you're born and you go through elementary school and high school. Finish high school is going to end up about here at the 9 inches mark. And so that comes and goes. It's gone. All right? You can't go back and treat mom and dad more respectfully. Okay? Can't go back and correct the bad friends I had and bad influences. That comes, it comes and it goes, all right? And then I went off to college. So I'm just numbering my days. And actually, should be a little bit further over here. But anyway, I did something kind of challenging. I took a 4-year degree, and I squeezed it into 4.5 years. Anyway, sorry, brother. West Virginia, it didn't help me. Okay, so then we, preacher, we don't want to break anything. Okay, there we go. Okay, college came and went. Praise the Lord. Some very, very, some of the biggest life change in my life during college. I went to a Christian college in Florida, Pensacola Christian College, and God changed my life during that time. Really helped me. But college came and college went. we're numbering our days, okay? And then I got out of college, went to North Carolina, and that was my first church. That's where I met the love of my life. Dawn Denise Hess. I wish she was here. She's truly the better half. But you're stuck with me tonight because she doesn't preach. Okay? So, anyway, met my wife in North Carolina and we started having kids. Kid number one right over there, Marcus. I did introduce you guys, didn't I? Marcus, he's the tall one. Okay? I call him Shorty just to keep everything in perspective. I could still whip him if I need to, even though he's taller than me. But we went to North Carolina, had Marcus, and then God moved us, after serving a little while there, God moved us to Kentucky, to where our sending church is, Eastwood Baptist Church, Murray, Kentucky. And in Murray, Kentucky, we served there and had some kids and then more kids and more kids and finally 4. We stopped at 4 because you have to have 4 kids in order to be a true blue bona fide missionary. Y'all heard that, right? And we didn't have any more kids. Well, we stopped at 4, okay? They say every 5th kid born in the world is Chinese. Now, not anything wrong with Chinese. We love the Chinese, okay? Praise the Lord. But we just stopped. We stopped right there. Okay. Anyway, so here we are. I'm sorry. I believe it's okay. It's forgiveness for people that enjoy going to church. Amen? You know what I'm saying? So then, at that point, God called me to the Ukraine to be a missionary. And we served there in the Ukraine. No, wait. He called me to that part, so let's break off that. Those days are come and gone. And then we traveled all around the country, and that's whenever we flew out here and met you guys and signed up several prayer partners and pray for you. You're praying for us. Well, I just want to stop for a second. I don't think you all understand how vital, prayer partners understand how vitally you impact our ministry over there. I'm serious. There's an extreme difference at those times of the month or every couple months when my prayer letter comes out. God gives us so much more grace. I just know there are more people praying for us because you got my prayer letter. You are thinking about us. Maybe you stuck it on your refrigerator, and you're just praying, and it makes a world of difference. Thank you so much for that. You are really a vital part of our ministry over there. So then, after raising our support, we went in 2003. To the Ukraine, and we have served there. We have served there for 10 years, which marks about one quarter of my life in the former Soviet Union. And so that's it right here. Now, some of you would look at me and say, "Brother Tony, you're relatively young. I mean, you look like a young guy." I look less and less like a young guy every time I come back. Okay? Somebody thought he was me. Did I mention that? Someone thought he was me because you thought I still looked like that. But now this is what I have to deal with. Okay? So, I mean, we were down the other day. We went to San Francisco. I forgot to get a hat. You know, I'm not used to having to take a hat everywhere if the sun's out or, you know, pasting something on my forehead so I don't burn. So I come back and I'm like a lobster, you know? And so I've got this really big sunburn. Age does it to you. So now 10 years in Ukraine, and this is what's left. Now, for some of you out there, you'd say, Brother Tony, you are relatively young because you're further out here. Some of you are dangling off the edge. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days. Why? So we get depressed. So we get discouraged. So we'll not opt out of Social Security. No, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, you need to find out why God put you on planet Earth and get busy doing it. Get busy serving God. Get a vision. Get a vision. That's what he prays here. He says, he prays that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation. Okay? We need to understand some things. We need to understand that life is short. We need to understand that eternity is long. And if you're living for the here and now, you know, there's a good chance, there's way more than a chance, there's absolute fact, you're going to be disappointed one day. You're going to have a lot of regrets. Failure has been defined as succeeding in the wrong areas. Let's suppose I spend the years of my life learning to master the three-point shot. I'm not against sports. I love sports. I don't play as much as I'd like to, but I enjoy sports. But suppose I get a master at putting a little tiny white ball 300 yards into a hole over there. And I spend enormous time. I become an expert golfer. But I neglect my Bible. I neglect my soul. I never learn how to share the gospel with my neighbor. I can guarantee you one thing. When 2 seconds after you die, you're going to have some regrets. You might be like the rich man. Hopefully, you know, you're here. I hope you're saved. The rich man, when he died, he opened his eyes. He was in hell. And he realized very quickly that he lived for the wrong things. He said, what was I thinking, you know? What was I thinking? Had my priorities out of line. I missed it. And I'm afraid there's going to be some Christians as well that one day, when they die, they're going to say, whoa, I missed it. 2 seconds after you die, it doesn't matter what kind of house you lived in. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drove. Doesn't matter how good you looked or how good you didn't look. And all of us want to live in a comfortable home and have all these things, and they're not wrong. But check your priorities. Check your priorities. What's really important to you? A few years ago, God convicted me. I mentioned my struggle with Russian. And God convicted me about my ability in Russian. Now, a different subject in English. But my ability in Russian to share Christ with my neighbors, with my friends, with, you know, with the people around me. And I've used an interpreter for years. And God challenged me. He said, son, if someone come up to you on the street and there wasn't any interpreter around, could you in Russian, I'm just being transparent with you, okay? This is stuff that a lot of missionaries don't just share with you. I'm just being 100% transparent. And God spoke to me and said, son, could you witness to them in their language? I said, well, I could. Some of those, oh boy, there's a few words I don't really know well enough, or I'd forget. Lord, I don't know. And he's like, son, you've been here for 5 years. Son, you've been here for 6 years. God convicted me. And I said, one of my highest priority, other than getting up in the morning, reading my Bible, praying, raising my children right, loving my wife, is to learn how to share the gospel with these people in Russia. And I began to dedicate time, learning it over, learning the verses, just getting it all together. And I'm so grateful. Just this past spring, before we came on furlough, we had a soul winning class. And at we'd get all together and pray, and then we'd split up and go to different areas. I like the $1 million track. Have $1 million, and I love to approach people and say, you know, we're trying to balance the American budget. And over there, I'd say the Ukrainian budget. We're trying to balance the American budget. There's a 16 point some odd trillion dollar debt. And so I thought maybe $1 million will help you out, okay? And so I offered to somebody, and they'll take it. And I say, on the back, there's the $1 million question. Do you know what the $1 million question is? And curiosity gets them every time. And so they turn it around, look on the back, say, if you die today, do you know you go to heaven? And are you, you know, here's a good phrase, are you good enough to go to heaven? Are you a good person? Okay? And then we start to go through some of the Ten Commandments, you know, showing a man is a sinner. We've broken God's law. Do you know what God did for guilty sinners? 2,000 years ago, God provided a Savior, Jesus Christ. And I love to pull out that track. And so what we did is we'd get together, and then we'd go to the streets. We'd actually go to the parks, because if you try to, you can't door to door, knocking on doors in our country, number one, you can't even get to the door, because everybody's house is surrounded by anywhere from a 6 foot to 8 foot to 10 foot wall or fence. Okay, so then you go up and ring the buzzer, and then the dog comes out and barks at you a little while. If they don't know you, they're not going to open the door. So we found it way more effective to go to the park. And so you go to the park, and there are people sitting over at the park like here, and just come up and sit down, and I'd offer them $1 million track, and then ask them that question on the back, and start to go through the gospel, you know, start to use the law. Say, let me ask you a couple questions. You know, if you're good enough to go to heaven, how many lies have you told in your life? Have you ever stolen anything, irregardless of its value? Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you committed adultery already in your heart. Have you ever looked with lust? Have you ever used God's name in vain? It's very serious sins called blasphemy in Scripture. And just ask a few of the Ten Commandments. Now, you know, you get, when you start asking people those questions, I mean, they're going to react. There's some people that are, you know, they're kind of hard. And they'll say, yeah, I do this. I do all of it. And much worse, you know. Okay? Listen, if God gave you what you deserved on Judgment Day, would it concern you? You know, are you guilty? Are you innocent or guilty? Would you go to heaven or hell? And then, see, God's used His law and started to convict and prick their hearts. And it is awesome to see the change. You know, just before I left, I was out soul winning and talked to this guy. He was at the gas station. I offered him a track. And he said, I don't need that. He said, I'm an atheist. And about 7 out of 10 young people, teenagers and up, would claim to be atheist or agnostic in Ukraine today. And so you run into this all the time. Actually, I would prefer the atheist over a lot of other religious denominations and stuff. And so I approached this young people, and he probably thought that's going to shoo me away. I said, now, if there's a heaven, are you good enough to go there? Are you a good person? And so he said, I don't believe it. Just humor me for a second. If, are you good enough to go there? Well, I'm a pretty good person. I said, do you mind if we check it out? You know, we'll just ask you a couple questions. Start to go through the law. And then when I get down to the, you know, if God judged you by these Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, would you be innocent or guilty? Well, of course I'd be guilty, he said. I said, does that concern you that God would cast you in hell because you're guilty and broken His law? And the boy 2 minutes ago who says, I don't believe that, I'm not concerned, it doesn't affect me. He looks at me in the eye and says, you know, it would concern me. You know, when people say they're atheists, don't give up on them. Don't stop right away. We just need to do our homework. We just need to know how to approach these type of people. And just share the word with them and love them. But the method we've been using is, I've really been thrilled with it. So it really works with every type. So we went to the streets, we went to the benches and sat down with these people. I just go from bench to bench to bench to bench and talk to the people see them. We'd get into some long conversations. Sometimes I'm knelt down there, you know, I'm kind of a grandpa now, and you're 20 minutes on your knees like this, you know. But you know, it's so thrilling to see God work in these people's lives, and to know that you're doing just what God has called you to do, and that nobody else, these people, if we don't tell them about Christ, it's about a 99% chance they will never hear it the rest of their life. And that's just where we're ministering, that's where we're at. What we need to do is pray this prayer right here, that the Lord would give us a spirit of wisdom. Wise people invest their lives. They don't waste their lives. They don't just spend their lives. They invest their lives. As I mentioned here, teach us to number our days. Wise people don't play around with sin. Wise people realize that God knows best. I was 16 years of age when I surrendered my life to Christ because I realized God could manage my life better than I could. And last, I want to say this. Wise people remember their purpose. I was driving through Connecticut some time back. I was on furlough, of course, and went by Wendy's. Did you know that the Frosty is one of the supreme blessings of God on the American people? Y'all didn't know that, did you? I mean, they're not good for you. Don't eat them for nutritional value. But they are delicious. Oh, they're delicious. I love them. And so I went by there to get my Frosty. Needed a Frosty before I went to bed. Brother Tony's crazy, isn't he? Okay. So I went by there, and so I ordered my Frosty, and maybe I got a hamburger or something else. And I was by myself. And God spoke to me about this lady at the drive-thru, and so I pulled out the track and started tried to witness to her just a little bit. You know, there's people behind you, you can't say a lot. But I said, I know you don't have time to read this right now, but would you promise me, and I don't always do this, but I said, would you promise me when you go on break that you'll take that in the back in the break room and you'll read this and you'll think about it because it's so important for you. And I just, God really burdened me for that lady, and she was open, very open, in Connecticut, you know, of all places. And so, after speaking, well, I paid the money, you know, I'd already ordered and I paid the money, and she gave me my change back, and so I said, you'll promise me, won't you? She said, okay, I will. You know, you're a nice guy, you're a nice man, okay, I'll do this for you. All right, if it'll make you feel better. I said, okay, it's important. And so I was excited about this, thinking about it, and so I put the car back in drive and just started driving off, drove past the second window and started out toward the street. When I got over to the street, I had to stop. You know, there's a stop sign there. And the lady out the second window, she hangs a bag out the second window and says, sir, do you want this food or not? I forgot my purpose. I forgot why the Wendy's, you know. And, you know, Christians sometimes, listen, serious point. Sometimes we forget our purpose. You forget why you're on earth. Jesus said, if the salt has lost his savor, it is henceforth good for nothing. Isn't that sobering words? If you're not a salty Christian, I mean, what's the point? In my house, if the light bulb goes out, I don't hang it up there any longer for decoration. Hello? Screw, shoot, throw it away. I mean, I don't want to be rude, but listen, the light has got to be shining or it's not fulfilling its purpose. Christian, listen, that ought to be sobering words to every one of us. You, and I'm grateful, are sending us across the ocean, but God has called you to go across the street to people that need to know Jesus Christ. You are salt and light right here in California. And you see what's going on in America just like I see what's going on in America. I come back and I'm in shock. But the greatest thing you can do for your country and our country is to be salt and light. So teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's the wisest thing you can do, is not live for this life, but live for eternity. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Could you, I mean, y'all probably familiar with Ron Hamilton around here. Could you sing one of his old, I love Ron Hamilton songs. One of his old songs. Could you sing this song from your heart? Where it says, Lord Jesus, take me. Lord Jesus, send me. Lord Jesus, use me. Lord, here's my heart. Can you pray that to the Lord? Say, Lord, just take me. Take all of me. You can manage my life better than I can. Send me wherever you want to go. I think it's God's will that everybody become a missionary. But God would send you to be the missionary in your sphere of influence, in your area. And then He would use you fully right where you're at. But there might be some of you here that God's burdened your heart for missions. And we need some laborers. That's how I became a missionary. I prayed the prayer. Lord, fields are white. Send forth laborers. Send forth laborers. Send forth laborers. And one day He said, what's wrong with you? And I said, Lord, I gave you my life when I was 16. I'm not an Indian giver. So take me and use me. Let's stand for a word of prayer.